Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people, people who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number, let me try to get this number right, because y'all know I've been getting confused lately on the podcast numbers. Sorry about that. I am on, this is podcast number 411, I think, and I'm going to call it When All the Mini Projects Take Over the House. Okay, so I am having a conversation with Lois. She is delightful, like just delightful. I love all these conversations, but I had so much fun in this conversation because she's a woman of many interests and gifts and talents. And I just think you're going to relate so much because these are the common threads of so many of us who struggle with clutter. We're into a lot of things. And anyway, you're just going to love her. So be sure to listen to the end, because at the end, I'm going to read you the email that Lois sent me the day after we recorded. She said, I want to thank you for the session yesterday. You got me thinking outside the box. And I'm going to tell you what it was she did and how it worked out that was because of this conversation. So you're going to hear us talk about something and then we'll get to hear the results of it, right? Which is cool. Anyway, don't forget, if you want to sign up to do one of these strategy sessions, I take these from my Patreon group. So go check out Patreon. It's a great place to be, whether you do a session or not. It's a fun, fun group. And you can find out more at patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. Okay. Here's my conversation with Lois.
Lois, how are you? Thanks for doing this.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here. So tell me a little bit about yourself. What's your unique life situation?
Well, I'm a mom and a grandma and a history professor. And I have a lot of volunteer commitments. And, you know, a lot of that stuff comes with clutter and stuff. I'm on the verge of retirement. So we're thinking about, it's not really congratulations. I love my job. I'm just getting too old.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But we're looking at a December date for my last teaching responsibilities and things like that. And so I'm going to be bringing more clutter into my house because I have a campus office, right? And so I'm thinking along those lines. And the biggest things that I wanted to talk about, I wanted to ask you about were actually one of them I solved already.
Oh.
I solved already, and it was you that helped me solve it.
Well,
because
good.
I have this room that has always been kind of the dumping ground room. It's supposed to be my office, and I made a nice office during lockdown and I used it and all that kind of stuff. But gradually, like, my grandkids come to visit, they're babies, toddlers. And so I had to put two toddler beds in here for when they come visit, because it's the only spare room we have that's near where their parents sleep when they come. And then I inherited, my sister passed away. And she lived in the house that my parents and grandparents had lived in. And I inherited, I don't even want to count, hundreds and thousands of photos and scrapbooks and, you know, all kinds of things like that, that are packed here. And I went through them and I laid them along the wall and, you know, they're fine. And I was thinking, well, I just have to give up in this room, because Dana says a room can only have one function. And this room is like now, you know, serving so many functions. But then you did that podcast where you talked about, like, you can actually put something in a drawer in a room that's labeled spare bedroom, you know, as long as it still functions as a spare bedroom. And it really changed my mindset, because I thought, well, as long as it's still functioning as an office, mm-hmm. then the fact that the kids' stuff is in here, you know, and they only come like once every 2 months and spend the night. I mean, but when they come, they need a place to sleep. That one phrase of, you know, as long as it continues to function as the office, you can still put other things in there. And there's other things I want to get out, but it's still functioning as my office and I feel so much better.
Right. It's as long as it doesn't keep it from functioning as an office. Uh-huh. That's the issue, right? So that's great. Uh-huh. I love it.
Hold up. Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So tell me about some other things that are working well for you.
Well, I did a complete house declutter beginning in lockdown and then continuing into 2021 after becoming familiar with your methods. And they work really well for me. And I was really happy. And my husband was really happy. So we have continued, like, I think our kitchen is, you know, works really well now. And in fact, not only do I don't really enjoy cooking there because I don't really enjoy cooking, but he has actually taken over like some of the cooking because he feels better about moving around in there.
That's
and
wonderful.
Clear cutters, counters and stuff. That's working really well. Our bedrooms, you know, really our public rooms are really doing well. And I feel like they're at the clutter threshold because it really, we have an upstairs with another spare bedroom up there. So all of the public rooms, I feel good walking into my house. You know, everything is clean and neat and has a place and all that kind of stuff. However, you know, over the last, I don't know, I feel like I lost it in at Christmas 2022, you know, our first really big entertaining thing after lockdown is that the not public places, my office, the storerooms, the garage, our dining room table, because I have this project going all the time. I always have some project going on the dining room table, you know, that's not quite, my office isn't quite big enough to do it in or, you know, something like that. So I feel like we're reaching that point where I have to start rethinking some of my habits and ideas. But like I said, I just love that, you know, the public rooms are just, I just really feel good about that. And it really, the 5-minute pickup has been a game changer for me. You know, this idea of, you know, just doing that before bed or in the morning before I leave for work, because I'm a morning person. And then I just come home to this house that's great. And I'm also finding for the first time in like a 35-year marriage that my husband's clutter bothers me. Like I always had so much of my own and he, you know, and he was always after me about my clutter. And I realized that my clutter was about 90% of the problem, but now like he has a 10% problem.
The 10% like, has become the 90% now.
The 10%, like I've just come in, he's retired. He's already retired. And I'll just come in and like, he wasn't home and he opened the mail and left all the mail on the coffee table and on the couch where he was working and the torn up, you know, envelopes and things like that, which is the stuff he used to get after me about.
It's one of those that happened to remind yourself of like all the years of grace.
I know. I mean, I don't really get annoyed, but I get a little annoyed, but I do tell him, you know, it's like, I think like you're the person that is making most of the car now. And he just laughs. He admits it, you know?
So you have in here that Take It There Now has been helpful for you.
It actually has been also very helpful. You know, this idea of just not making piles of things. We have, you know, two levels. It used to be that sometimes the stairs were impassable because we have like a, you know, there's a landing on the staircase and I would take things halfway down or even throw things halfway down, you know, to like take down later or even like bring boxes up from the basement or something up from the basement, like only need two or three things out of it. And the box would sit there for 3 months and, you know, things like that. So I mean, we don't actually have that issue anymore because again, I've just adopted mostly that Take It There Now, although, you know, I get overwhelmed sometimes. And when, particularly at the, you know, project deadline is coming up or something like that. And I just looked at my desk in the kitchen, which is where we pay bills from and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even know what's on there right now. I mean, it's like, it's getting to be kitchen desk Jenga, you know?
Yeah. But you know what to do, right?
Like, yeah, I know what to do.
The deadline has passed and then you know how to move on from there. So that's
right. Yeah.
So like, do you, especially with the split level, do you resist the taking it there now because of going up and down stairs, or have you seen the power of it enough to understand that it's worth it?
Both.
I know. Yeah, right.
I know. Like, you know, I'll just sit there and I'll think, oh, my granddaughter, we have a little playroom downstairs from, you know, when the kids come over, and I have a 10-year-old granddaughter and she likes to do art projects and things, and the craft stuff and everything is in the bottom level and the TV's down there. It's kind of a family room. But when she gets home from school, nobody's in the family room. Like, she wants to come upstairs and be with us. And so, you know, she'll just drag things upstairs kind of gradually. And, you know, and then I'll, you know, she leaves. And if I remember, or if we just hit it right when her parents come to pick her up, she comes after school at like at 3:30, and the parents get up at 5. So I have her for an hour and a half. My husband, I have her for an hour and a half. And, you know, if I remember and I hit her at the right point, you know, I'm not in the bathroom or something when her parents get there, like, we make her like gather up all her stuff and take it downstairs. But a lot of times I'll just look around and think, oh, it's all Brooklyn stuff. And then I'll think, you know, I should take it there now, or I should just, you know, whatever. And then I think, I don't have time. And then I do it, you know,
and then I put done. It away.
And then it's like 4 minutes, maybe maximum. I'm just guessing, you know, to take her little papers and crayons. And I don't know, she likes to cut up things. There's like little shards of paper around. And,
I love it. I love it. That's great. So what are some of the things that you want to talk about today?
Well, when I made the appointment, I kind of wanted to talk about the spare room and how I could make it function better. But I think I'm really, you know, because of that podcast you did in between, I'm really feeling like I know what to do to make it work. And we have had a lot of pile up. One of the things that I do is, well, it's a long story, but it involves bringing in a lot of stuff that gets sold at an auction to send Native American girls to space camp.
Very cool.
Just one of the things that, one of the things that I work with. And I just got back from a trip with some of my people, and I came back with a whole carload of stuff for the auction. And like, it's sitting there waiting to be put away. And, you know, I know how to do it, and I know that it's just going to get worse, so I better do it. So it's
where,
like,
do you put it away? Like, where is the place to put it away?
Well, the place to put it away is supposed to be, I don't know if I can show you this or not. The place where I put it away is supposed to be on these shelves here. Can you see those shelves? I don't know what you can see.
They're a little blurry, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I have the background blurred. That's why. I should probably fix it. So I have two sets of shelves here and bins and things like that. And believe me, they are outgrowing their space. and it used to be a really wonderful, you know, place to put it and things like that, because the auction is in May, and we raise around $26,000 last year. You know, it was really good with all this stuff. It's collectibles. I only take collectibles that, you know, have a value. And so people would send me things like in the middle of, you know, in April for this May 4th event. And now they know I do it. And so it just starts coming in all year long. And so I have to begin to rethink like what space I have to dedicate. And we have a big house and we have empty storage areas, but I'm a little afraid that if I start putting it in like different storage areas that I'll forget where it all is.
Okay, so tell me, as you do the auction in April,
in May, first week in May,
huh? You do it in May. At that point, is the shelf completely clear?
It's mostly clear. There are always, you know, a few things that don't sell, or I use it also has paraphernalia that goes along with it. I don't know how to describe it, but, you know, there's things to, you know, like things to display things on and, you know, things like that. So there is like it has 10 shelves, and then the top of it usually also has boxes on top, and that's fine. I don't care if the boxes are there.
I mean, I'm just brainstorming right here. Uh-huh. Okay. So, you know, it's your house and you know how everything functions, but you did mention that there's a small room downstairs that your granddaughter uses.
It's actually a closet off the side of my office. It's a big walk-in closet, and that's where her toys.
Oh, off of where you are right now?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's where all her toys and craft supplies and all that are kept.
Okay.
And so, and it's really done there. And you know, I mean, it's just as I was thinking here, like, I completely emptied out the linen closet upstairs. Like, there's very little in there. My husband would probably have a fit. It's empty. It's not even really being used now. I just have a few cat supplies. That's all I have. We have one cat. I could, you know, begin using that, and that would only be two places, but I have to like talk to my husband because he gets really
Is there a place that could be complete and total? Like, as in, like, is there a, you said you have space, so I'm not sure how that law is configured, but like, is there a space where you're like, it is not here anymore? Because you did talk about this room and, you know, it has been an issue with the multifunction and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So like, is there a closet, a space, whatever that we could be mm-hmm. like, this is dedicated to that.
Mm-hmm. That's something to think about. And I would have to really start to think about it. And we do have an unfinished area in the basement. But on the other hand, those areas are subject to flooding and it's not temperature controlled. And these are like collectibles, mostly astronaut autographs and things so like cool. photographs. Yeah, I mean, this is just, I have a whole community of people involved in the space program that are behind this effort to get these girls to camp every year. And I mean, and even some of them, like, you know, they're, as they retire, they're downsizing and they'll send me their stuff. And yeah.
So do you feel like it's, do you end up with more stuff than you need, or is it always that things just, some things don't sell, or is it like, are you able to cut it off is what I'm saying? Like, are you able to say, this is the space that I have,
mm-hmm.
this is it. So
I was just talking to some of my, you know, some of the people that I work with on this, and even like the program itself. I mean, it's one of those things that we just started out with a group of 8 to 10 girls, and they go to this STEM academy. It's a once a week thing after school, you know, for the year, and then the girls that finish up get the trip to space camp. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we used to send those girls and that would finish up, and sometimes it was only 3 that would really finish, and sometimes it was 8, and you know, now it's double that size, and it's gotten bigger and more people are aware of it. And so I was just talking to people, like I said, I don't think this is scalable. Like, I think at some point we need to be like talking about, you know, partnering with some nonprofit or, you know, something. I mean, I'm really, really happy that it's been so successful. And, you know, I keep thinking, well, maybe when I retire, like, you know, this would be like what I would do, like 20 hours a week or something like that. But then I think we travel, we do this, we do that. And so I really am facing that. I don't know if you did that when you started to grow. It's like, I mean, it's just a whole life change. Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, like, just, you know, there are limits, not just to our space. There are limits to our time. There's limits to the possibilities. And you don't want to limit the program, but acknowledging your own limits and saying, this is how much I can keep as of such and such point. Somebody else has to store it in her house. I this is my limit, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much space I have, and also this is how much time I have to do this amount of stuff. And then at some point, then we say, okay, now you send stuff to so and so, and they can take it over. One of the things that my husband and I have been talking a lot about lately, which is different, because I relate a lot to your whole like, but this is fun, and this is fun, and this, and I want to do this, and here's a really good cause, and all this. You know, like, we have been hosting a group of, you know, 9th and 10th graders for 8 years now. Okay. Mm-hmm. On Sunday nights. And like, there are kids and we love it, but like, our daughter's graduating, our youngest is graduating. And so we're like, okay, it's officially a phase of life changes now. So do we keep doing this thing, or do we acknowledge that we're going to have other things coming into our life that we're going to want to make sure we have some flexibility and room for? And anyway, so the thing that we keep coming back to is, I am so thankful for the past 8 years and the opportunity that we've had, and somebody else might need that same opportunity. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so while we kind of need to give it up, but we could totally do it. Like, we could totally keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm also like, what if there are people out there who really maybe don't even know how much they would enjoy taking on this, and then they can have that experience with their kids for the next 8 years or whatever. So it's like, and I guess I'm thinking, I'm like, of these people, the thing has grown and you've got people who help you out. There might be somebody who's like, I could do that, you know, and especially because you have a system, and it doesn't mean you not doing it if you don't want to, but it would also be a path for you to have somebody to pass it on to eventually, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm not getting any younger on that too. So you know,
so yeah, so it's kind of like,
yeah,
this is my limit. Blame it on the space. and say, this is my limit and I can handle what I've been doing, but we're growing and that's wonderful. I need someone else to be like, okay, at this point, you know, when I'm full, or people have the option of sending it to either of you or whatever. I don't know. Does that make sense, or does that not?
I mean, it does. I mean, it really is. I've been sort of pondering this. You talk about like everything seems fun and things like that. I mean, my husband's this person. It's like if the neighbor came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to the dump tomorrow, you know, to dump off some stuff. You want to come with me? I'd go, I've never been to the dump. What's it like? You know, let's go. You know?
Sounds
and,
so fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, let's do that. So I'm always, you know, I have that kind of that personality that jumps at opportunities. And and I'm really, you know, very fond of these girls, honestly, you know, and seeing them succeed and then seeing their families take the pride in them that they have they've earned this opportunity because they have to do the academy and everything. They've earned this opportunity and they're getting this opportunity and they're growing. And, you know, it's really a very rewarding thing. But as I was just honestly at our last, it's not really a board meeting because it's like four of us that get together and chat on Zoom. we call them our board meetings, you know,
yeah, of course.
That, you know, I was saying that, you know, that basically what I was saying then was when I retire, don't think I can double my time here because, you know, we have other things we want to do. So, and then I was explaining some of the responsibilities and stuff, and it's just so great that we have such a lovely community behind us and, you know, doing things for the girls and things like that. But it's really become like a second job. And that's not all, you know, it's the only thing, like I teach Sunday school, you know, and have for the last 30 years.
Exactly. And, yeah. I mean, you know, you followed me, you know how I add things, but I'm like, I can add this, but I can only add it if this is the limit of what I'm doing and I'm bringing someone else on to you know, handle that. So it's like, you want this to keep going, but your time and your energy is a container and you're not willing.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's...
Even if it means bringing, maybe the four of y'all, none of them could do it, but maybe there's somebody else who's watched what y'all have done and is ready to come on and, you know, which then allows it to be something that will, you know, continue anyway at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a great
I mean, that
answer.
Just sort of think, yeah, just, I mean, I love that. The time is a container too. And energy is a container. And
it really is.
That whole container concept thing is really also has been very, very helpful. And
which it feels too, like the improvement that you've made in your home, the decluttering that you've done. I feel like understanding and acknowledging limits and experiencing how nice it is to live within those limits then helps me be able to see how worth it it is in the future to establish and stick to limits. You know, you know, like, you know, you're like, I don't want this to take over my house. Where my old personality, well, I mean, it's still my same personality, but my old understanding of things was like, what? Of course I'll keep doing until I couldn't anymore because I had stuff everywhere and I couldn't handle it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do feel like I'm reaching my limit there. So that is a really good way to explain it to people. So that would, you know, that would just be really, really nice way of talking to people about the limits. So, yeah.
Well, and if people don't know that you're feeling that way, then they may not volunteer. You know, until you say, I need someone to volunteer. I need someone else to do this. Then that.
Right. We need to bring some more people on board. So yeah, that's really nice.
Love it though. I love that you do that. It's wonderful.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So tell me your next thing you wanted to talk about.
I think it's actually really kind of related. One of the things that I didn't have as much trouble as I thought I would in even getting rid of things. And, you know, when I went through and did my first round of decluttering, and I remember that feeling of when I finished, my garage was the last thing that I did. And it was so beautiful and it was so nice and all that kind of stuff. And we got rid of a lot. I mean, I had a run to the donation center every Thursday for like a year and a half. You know, yeah. It's just, we just put it, you know, and did that. And I just really felt very good about that. And, you know, most of the stuff I got rid of, like, you know, it opened up. I remember this is embarrassing, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I mean, say it anyways. One of my kids came home with, he was playing baseball and the whole team got, you know, they used the same batting helmet. So everybody got lice.
Yes. You know, we actually went through exactly that.
Exactly that. Yeah. So, you know, here I am like cleaning out things. And I realized that I have this. And then of course, my son got it. So then my other son got it, you know, so that, you know, we had the whole lice thing and it. And they're now 27 and 31, and they were like 7 and 10 when this happened. So here I am cleaning out. I come across this basket of like lice cleaning out stuff for your hair. And of course, you know, I'm going, oh, that's crazy that I still have that, you know, and all the they went to camps and all the sunscreen and, you know, all that kind of stuff for their camps with their names and their name tags on it. I'm just throwing things out right and left or cleaning out things or recycling things. It was great. And it just felt so good. So there was a rush from decluttering. And what I'm doing now is reaching, particularly as I'm reaching retirement, you know, I think there are some jobs where it's not just your jobs, it's who you are. And like, I've been Professor Lois for 40 some years, you know, that's who I am. And so, you know, I'm bringing home, you know, like framed awards that I had in my, I never even cared about the awards or anything, but, you know, so I got the framed awards and I got the books and I got the lecture notes, and that stuff is really a lot harder to go through. And I'm tempted, like I'm trying to get rid of it at the office so I don't even bring it into the, you know, like I just go through, you know, so I don't even bring it into the house so I don't have to worry about where to put it. But I'm really wondering or worrying about like what to keep, you know, what means a lot. And you're talking about like your favorite special things and what space in my house I want to donate to the past, you know, and that kind of stuff. And even like books, which I know I'll never read again, but I open it up and it's, you know, given to me with a really nice dedication from a professor of mine who passed away, you know, something like that. And I didn't even remember I had it, but when I open it up, I'm going, oh, I love that. So that part of the first round, what I'm saying, the first round was so easy and the second round is getting harder. And, you know, I'm just wondering like, how to make decisions about what to keep. And also, like, I've never been old before, but I'm getting old. There's no, you know, we always say there's no manual for, you know, having babies or anything. There's actually no manual for that last part of your life. Right? I mean, the last third of your life. And, you know, there really is that temptation to just you know, put all the awards on the wall so everybody walks in and knows that I was once important. Yes. On the other hand, I don't want to look at that every day. So I'm trying to negotiate that, and wondered if you had any advice.
You know, I think, have you read Decluttering at the Speed of Life?
You know, I have not. I feel like I have, because I've been following you so long, but I never have. I never have sat down and read it or listened to it.
So I would recommend you read it. You can get it at the library or whatever. But specifically the last chapter is about grief, but it's about not just like what we normally think of as grief. We lose a loved one, whatever, but also like the grief that happens as your identity changes, as you let go of who you were. I mean, it's real grief. Like it's actual grief to go, oh, that part of my life is over, you know, because what I experience so many times is I realize there are a lot of things that I'm like, oh, it's a phase. And I'm thinking, well, I might get into that phase again. But then I get to certain times right now, as you know, my kids are all graduating and leaving and stuff. It's like, oh no, that phase of life is over. Like we're done. It's not coming back. It's whatever. And it's like kind of, you know, a version of what you're experiencing right now is you just have kind of this panic of like, wait, I'm not ready to be done, you know, or I am ready to be done, but I'm not ready to. Yeah. So I think acknowledging that is legitimate grief is important. Okay. And that it is a very challenging time. And then to, instead of saying what parts of my house am I going to donate to the past, think of it more as, okay, what is it? Because you're going to continue to be you. Mm-hmm. And so your new identity is that of a retired history professor. Okay. Which means that people may come to you with their questions about certain things, or, you know, somebody might need encouragement, or, you know, somebody who's starting out in a similar or parallel field or something is going to need your encouragement or need whatever. And so it's like, what is a space that I can devote to this, closet, bookshelf, whatever, and say, this is the space that I have that I really can devote to it. And then what are the things that deserve the space in there? Not just because I'm not willing to let them go, but like, okay, this is something that will give me credibility. This is something that will, you know, that I would hand to someone else, or, you know, whatever, or that I would go back through and look at. I don't know. I mean, just not necessarily that we're going to go through everything and ask ourselves all those questions, but using that instinct of thinking of it as, this is for the new version of me, the retired history professor. And so what deserves space in this bookshelf for this new version of my identity? I don't know. Would that help at all?
Yeah. I mean, it does. And I honestly have, like, getting rid of books for people in my profession is like having a body part cut off.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. But I did go through, and again, this was during lockdown, because we still had a lot of books at home, and we actually, you know, and talk about if someone, like, I know I'm not going to read this book again. And if someone came to me and said, you know, Lois, what do you recommend I read to learn about 15th century England? And it's like, well, I probably wouldn't recommend this 30-year-old book. I probably would have them read something more current, and I'm not going to read it, and I'm not going to recommend it. So unless it's like sentimental, like has an inscription or something in it, then I can get rid of it. And that's kind of what I'm doing now, and donating it to the undergraduates have a book show sale every year and things that. So, you know, that's what I'm doing with the books that I consider my tools. I will continue, even though I'm like retiring from teaching. I might even like be hired back to teach a class from now and then again, you know, sometimes they're desperate. Yeah. And they call on retired people, and, you know, and I know that I can do that if I wanted to. And the other thing is I like still have a book contract and a couple of article contracts. So for the next 3 or 4 years, I probably will be continuing to research and write and go to, you know, do that. So you're right. I mean, there are those things that I would use. There are other things that I won't use, but it, you know, it really is kind of more the, a box of notes. I have a folder that's called Proof I Don't Suck. And it's really like notes that you get at the end of the year from students and things like that. Every once in a while, I'll come back from a meeting that's gone wrong or something and just open it up. Sometimes all I have to do is look at the name of the folder, you know, and realize, remember what's in there. And it's like, I don't really need those anymore. And probably those students wouldn't even remember me anymore, or, you know, some of them. But there's
do you not need it? Or is that if identity is the issue?
Uh-huh.
If you've acknowledged that it's my identity as a professor and like, oh my goodness, this is over, that might not be a bad thing to
hold on to. But yeah, I mean, that's just an example. I have lots of things. And even I'm doing it, and it's like the first three or four that I gave away were hard. And you've talked about building your decluttering muscles and things like that. But, you know, students give you mugs or little figurines, or, you know, sometimes it's even like, I teach European history, so a lot of times these kids 10 years later will go to a Paris or something and send me a postcard from Paris saying, I'm finally using the stuff you taught me, or, you know, something like that. And I just read, kind of look at that and throw it away, you know. I mean, I'm building that, but it's and you're right, I mean, it is a kind of grief journey, you know, as you sort of think back and remember and, you know, that kind of stuff. So
well, and inside your office, you know, having a container that is like, this is it, you know, you've got through December, if you, if you have room to go ahead and have a container so that as you run across things, you're like, this is special enough, I'm going to stick it in that container. Something about that, you know, over time you find something else and you realize, oh, that container is starting to get kind of full. You know what? I can take that out. So it's just that in and out, and that, something about the container just identifies what's more important and what's less important. It's strange how it works, you know, that it's rarely about filling up the container all the way and then having to decide what comes out. It's usually just easier when you're like, just should this go in the container? Nah, it doesn't. Or yes, absolutely it does. But yeah, having that there over the next, you know, through December.
Yeah. And then I also have, this is like crazy. I mean, I have a whole bunch of stuff, and it's like the awards, you know, and like, you get one, like, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, things like that. And I have them like all stacked up, and I'm thinking, these should mean something to me. These don't actually mean anything to me. And I've tried to throw them away, and my husband brings them back in and says, you can throw those away.
Are they framed?
No, they're, you know, they're wooden plaques with the brass thing, you know, you know, within, they're screwed in, and, you know, things like that. And it has, you know, some kind of award, or some kind of, you know, I mean, teacher of the year, graduate school director of the year, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I put him in, I thought, like, I don't really want to look at those the whole rest of my life. And he's going, well, the kids should know this about you. And I don't want to take pictures of them, but we're having like this, like somehow they're important to him as a part of my identity, or he thinks that I should value them more than I do, or that if I get rid of them now, I'll regret them like in 5 years. And so we're having, and that's just one example of a category.
So, like, just a little practical thing, it's making me think about somebody, I think it was Connie Albers, I'd had her on, and she had talked about with her kids' trophies, she took off the little plaque and got rid of the trophy. And I'm like, well, that could be a job for him. Is you give him a box and he can unscrew all the little metal plates off a big piece of wood,
and then donate it, donate the wood, and then
he can
put the plaques in his office.
But you could have it, it could potentially get what is a huge tub down to, you know, a small container.
You know, most of them I never even hung up in my office at work. Like, I would get them and I would have my picture taken with them, and they put it up on the Facebook page. And then I would like just put it in the box. And so I almost feel guilty that they don't mean more to me than they do, which is really a weird, like, you know, I have enough guilt for things I ought to be guilty about. Like, why am I feeling guilty that I don't feel guilty?
No, I get it. It's like, oh, I think this is supposed to mean something. And how many times do we hold on to something? Cause it's like, I think I'm supposed to feel something about this, so I should keep it. When in reality, it's like, wait, if I don't care, then
Absolutely. I mean, I was just thinking that I could probably, the memory of the ceremony and the student that was with me when I got the award and all that kind of stuff, and I probably have pictures of the actual moment they were awarded somewhere. that would mean way more to me to put those in an album somewhere or something like that than to have the wood and brass.
Well, yeah. And it could be have an album with that says awards on the outside. And then as thick as that album is, that makes you look cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something. Yeah.
Since that's what your husband wants, is he wants everybody to understand, which is lovely.
That is really nice. I mean, I like it that he is, you know, he's always been a real supporter of the work I do and things like that.
But really though, I mean, that could be like, you know, you have something that says, so it's clear you've received a lot of awards.
Mom's awards. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that could be a retirement project that I would kind of enjoy you know, actually digging out those pictures from somewhere. And like I said, I know that I have them and, you know, probably on phones or thumb drives that are in, I have all my thumb drives in one place. I know where to find them, but they're not labeled. And there are a lot of them, you know, the discs from the old digital cameras, you know, and I have disc reader that'll fit in my computer. So, I mean, it's like, I can do this when I have time, but
yeah.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Was there something else you wanted to talk about?
No, I actually think we've covered most of the
I've solved all your problems.
And you've solved all my problems. You even solved one before I got here, you know? I was feeling so discouraged about this room because I put a lot of work into it, you know, to make it function as an office and everything. And then when it had to be a bedroom and everything else, I was just like kind of pouty because, you know, it's like, I want my office and I don't want it to be a bedroom. And now I'm actually reframing it. So it's my office and sometimes the kids sleep here.
Yeah, that, exactly.
Yeah. It's not a toddler bedroom. It's an office that sometimes the kids sleep in.
Right. They sleep in your office. So that's fun for them, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I really appreciate the work that you do, Dana. I mean, it's really, you know, I'm sure you hear this from everybody, but I've listened to, you know, YouTubers and all that kind of stuff before. And when I stumbled on you, I thought, she gets me.
when you talk about identity and you talk about your thinking all the different things are fun and all that, I'm like, yes, that's exactly me. Like, it all sounds fun.
Yeah. It does. And it usually is too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have a great time. And I just come home and I go, why did I do that? Because I, you know, like there's 7 loads of laundry. How did that happen? You know, or whatever.
That's what I say is I'm like, the world needs people like us who are like, sure, I can do that. And it never crosses our mind that that will mean we won't have time to do laundry.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of people who won't do the other stuff because they're like, well, no, I've got all these things that I've got to do. And I'm like, oh, I never even thought about it.
Those things always somehow get done.
They do.
And in my life now, I have no excuse really because my kids are gone. And I heard you talking about that, you know, that empty nester feeling. And I remember that feeling, you know, as though it came time for my first one to leave, thinking like, he'll come back and everything, you know, I mean, he's going to visit and all that, but this is never going to be our house. And it's never going to be, you know, the four of us all living here as this being our house. And yeah, that was hard. And it is a hard time. And I don't think that we anticipate that or, you know, talk about it as much as we ought to. It's as big a transition as when you bring that first little one home and think, oh, what do I do now?
I just look around and I think, what in the, I mean, I won't get into it because it'll make me emotional, but you know, my last one leaves, she goes to college, you know, so, and so she'll leave in August and it's just like, That's gonna be so weird.
Yeah, I know. And it's even when your first one goes, it's kind of an adventure. But when your last one leaves, it's, yeah, it's it really kicks in. That, yeah. Luckily, if you're really lucky, Dana, grandparenting is the most fun I have ever had in my life.
I hope.
Really,
I hope
if to you're get to really lucky, and mine live close enough, and you know, I have never had the experience of, you know, as soon as I get to their house and ring the doorbell, I hear these little people yelling, I can't get enough of me. I just love it. And,
that's a fun identity, right?
Yeah. It's great. I have fun all the time, but it's the most sustained fun I've ever had. And it's really cool to see your kids move into that space. And it's really cool when they ask your advice.
We have had several moments where we're like, oh, they care. Okay, we gotta make it good.
Yeah, they like us again. Yeah,
they want to hear what we have to say. Okay, let's make sure it's good.
Yeah, and what's really also kind of fun and awesome is that, you know, as the boys and the kids were growing up, you know, mom was always kind of the primary parent, and they always came to me first, you know, with things, you know, mom, can I do this? Mom, can I do that? And everything. And now a lot of times they'll pick up the phone and they'll say, you know, dad's not answering his phone. Can I talk to him? You know, and it's really about, you know, how to hang a shelf in the kitchen, or, you know, how to invest their bonus that they weren't expecting or something like that.
That's so great. Yeah.
You know, all the relationships are still there, but they're really shifting in interesting and fun ways.
I love it.
Yeah. So I wish that for you too, because you know, having a great time with that.
Yeah. do enjoy a lot about this phase, and about when we are all together, which is rare. It is so fun. You know, it's a different kind of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah. Well, tell me what you love about being a kindred spirit.
Well, I love being a kindred spirit, and I really love this idea. I mean, this is very selfish, but I love the idea that, you know, just this little $10 or whatever it is I give a month, I don't even know what it is, helps you to keep helping people the way you helped me.
Thank you. I love that.
And I don't really have the time to like devote to the Facebook group or anything like that. And I've only caught maybe one or two of the lives, but I just love that I'm part of the effort of what you're doing. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. And that means a lot. It means a lot to you as a way to continue and pay it forward and all
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really feels like a pay it forward kind of thing to me.
Well, thank you again. And is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No, I honestly think that we already covered everything that I was nervous about. And I do really feel better about that transition that's coming up. So, you know, you've given me new ways to sort of think about retiring. And here's the deal. I had always thought I would work till I was 70. And I didn't say this, but my husband's been diagnosed with a degenerative vision condition. And so he really, really wants to travel and do things while he still can. Mm-hmm. So I'm retiring about 3 years before three or 4 years before I thought I would retire. And I wasn't really ready to do it. And it was it wasn't a hard decision to come to. I knew I had to do it, but it's been a hard time accepting it. And it has been a bit of a grief reaction. And, you know, I mean, my husband is old enough that the degenerative vision condition, you know, his doctor tells him, well, if you live to be 103, you'll probably be blind, you know, but
that's an interesting way to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, he's kind of reaching the point, like within the next 3 to 5 years, we anticipate he'll have to give up driving and, you know, things like that. So, so he wanted to travel and he wanted to do this and he wanted to do that. And I thought, you know, I can do that for you. So,
absolutely. This was so much fun. I so enjoyed talking to you.
I love talking to you too. I always like the lives whenever I can catch them, you know, but
Didn't y'all just love that? Isn't she so, so fun? So here is the email that I got from Lois the day after we recorded. She said, Dana, I wanted to thank you for the session yesterday. You got me thinking outside the box. Case in point, I got an email from a collector yesterday who is downsizing. And among the items he wanted to donate was a largish scale model of a spacecraft signed by 3 Apollo era astronauts, 2 of whom are deceased. I knew from experience that similar items have sold in the last 3 years for between $1,500 to $2,000. But I also know from experience, I'd want him to have the item professionally packed, shipped, and insured at our expense. And then I'd have to pay to have it shipped to the winner after our May 4th event. May the 4th be with you. Get it? It would probably cost around a total of $250. But with a high value item like that in the past, I would have said sure and then found a place to store it. Think about a container the size of a small U-Haul box. Multiply that by 20 and you see why my house started looking like an Amazon warehouse every spring. Instead, I explained my storage issues to him and asked whether he could send me good quality photos and hold on to it until May and then send it at our expense directly to the buyer. He was happy to do so. I never would have thought of that without our conversation yesterday. Thanks again, Lois. Well, that makes me happy. Y'all know that, right? That makes me so happy to hear. So anyway, so many times it's just thinking of a situation differently and going, oh yeah, that would change how this goes in my house. And I hope that hearing these conversations helps you think about your own situations differently so that you can apply the things that you're learning here in your own home and your own unique situations. Okay, just a quick reminder again, if you want to know more about being a patron of the show and joining our Kindred Spirits group, go to patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. That's patreon.com/aslobcomesclean. All right. I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.